Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Especially Granny and Lucas, you college football fans, this is how I've always felt whenever we get to the holidays and the world is screaming and yelling about who should be in the playoffs. And the answer every time, the debate goes to, well, who's the better team? And every time I'll respond and say, sports isn't about who the better team is. Sports is about who wins.
Right.
If it was about the better team, I'm not sure why we're wasting our time and, for many people, wasting their body by actually playing the games. People will do this when it comes down to two teams for the last spot in the college football playoff. Well, Vegas says that Michigan would be favored over Tennessee by six. They're the better team. I don't care. Michigan has two losses. Tennessee only has one or none or whatever. Whatever the scenario is that year, and obviously we're on an uneven playing field. You're playing different teams, different conferences, all of these things.
Right, and you've got human beings decide who the better team is.
Which is absolutely absurd.
Right.
Like, it would fix college football. If you just, especially now that conferences have totally exploded, just label the conferences conference 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. And get your 64 total teams or whatever. Have 8 of them. 8 conferences of 8 teams apiece. And all 8 teams that win their conference, boop, off you go. You're in.
Well, this year will be closer.
Do that.
Because at least you get 12 teams.
Yeah.
But there's going to be a team or two that thinks that they should be in the 12-team playoff. But at least you've gotten to 12 now as opposed to 4, which becomes a lot less subjective.
But that's the beauty of the NFL and why I'll always support when some 7-9 or now 8-9 division winner gets to go to the playoffs and host a game. There's no, who cares what anyone thinks? Oh, we think we should be in. That's irrelevant. Nobody cares what you think. What did you do? Did you win your division? Cool. You're in. Period.
Agreed.
That would fix college football.
And they're getting closer now with the expanded playoff, but college football is a whole separate show in and of itself. And what Tennessee is now doing to its fans by charging them a 10% surcharge so that they can take that money and pay their players is an absolute joke. Yep. And if Grandy's team, Oregon, if your boy Phil Knight ever decided that this mattered to him and he wanted to pump $1 billion into Oregon,
already is.
Well, then he
Shout
needs to do
NIL.
It better. If NIL, if he was doing it right, then Oregon would be the best team in college football.
Well, and just you wait alert, till wait till January,
not. And nobody gives a crap about college football in this town. So that will be the end of the college football discussion.
Wait a minute, Grandy. Do you think Oregon's the best team in the nation?
Wait till January.
Then win something.
That's right.
They're going to this year.
Yeah.
How come you don't?
And if they don't,
why don't you?
And if they don't, then I can't call them the best team in the country.
You know that energy you give the Niners? Why don't you keep that same energy?
That same energy.
For the Oregon Ducks. Keep that same energy.
No.
He won't. He won't.
When Debo says that, Willard, how does it make you feel? I mean,
like
it frustrates me, but right? How does it make you're a Niner fan?
Yeah, it doesn't frustrate me. I just, as I said, that's the best way I can describe it is it's hard to hear. I'm not offended by it, but it's hard to hear because I agree with him, but you haven't won. And it almost makes it sound worse. It's like, I agree with you, dude, you are the best team. So you got to be better in your best moments, your biggest moments. That's kind of how, like, and again, fair or foul, that's how we usually assess the athletes we love the most, is what you do in your biggest moments. Steph Curry, game 4, Boston. Like that stuff, Mad Bum, Kansas City, it just cements your legendary status because you've always been great, but in your biggest moments, you become even greater.
And that's an interesting comp because we've all said this, and we said it then, and we're saying it now. The Giants were never the best team when they won the World Series.
In 10, 12, and 14, they were
never the best team.
They weren't.
But did it matter come October?
Nope.
Because when you got to October and you had games that you played against other teams in the playoffs and you beat them, then you know what? You were the best team.
You were the best team that day. So I would argue it made them better. It makes the experience even better when you win, when you're not the best team. And you are the best team
when you win the postseason. And that's my point in all of this. Debo can say that they're the best team, but no, you weren't. Because you get to February, and you weren't good enough to beat Kansas City, not once but twice. So the whole idea about best team, to me, matters a grand total of zero, because you have a chance to play another team in the playoffs.
Yeah, and you got to win.
And if you don't beat them, then who gives a crap if you're the better team?
What he's saying, though, I think what he's saying is he's putting urgency on winning this year because in his mind they're the best and they haven't done it. That's the piece of it I like. I could agree with you. It doesn't matter if you're the best. It's more fun to win. Be the team that wins.
Right.
I don't think that the Giants were the best team, but they won, and so the beer tasted the same.
Were the Rams the best team when they won the Super Bowl
over the Bengals?
I mean,
I don't even think the best team was there.
Exactly.
The Chiefs were the best team.
Exactly.
But which Warriors championship did you love the most?
The first one.
Or the fourth one.
Right.
Because you didn't think they were the best team.
Well, the first one, they probably weren't the best team until you got through 67 and 15.
Until they were. Yeah.
And they weren't until they went through the playoffs and they won the whole thing. And then it's like, well, you were the best team.
Well, we just didn't
know. And
the
NBA is always different because the best team wins more often than any other sport. And in the NFL, one bounce, one call, one this, one that. Everything can turn a football game a lot quicker than you can in a best of seven.
So check this out. This is from Emmanuel Acho on FS1 today on the facility. Now, there's one thing, which is what this is about. The conversation was about how good the 49ers can be once Brock Purdy gets paid. But that's into the future. There's a comment tucked within this that, again, got Mark Grandy all upset. Take a listen.
Want to dismantle the myth that the Niners are going to be without talent once Brock Purdy gets paid.
Because he still do got it.
Like, for those that don't realize, Talanoa Hufanga was a fifth-round pick, All-Pro. Fred Warner, third-round pick, future Hall of Famer. George Kittle was a fifth-round pick, All-Pro. The Niners know how to draft, particularly late in the draft. So to say that the Niners will be without talent once Brock Purdy gets paid is ignorant, it's uneducated, it's uninformed, and it has a lack of research as it pertains to the San Francisco 49ers. Not only will they have talent, even when Brock Purdy gets paid, Kyle Shanahan is the machine. Yeah. Y'all realize Jordan Mason, Christian McCaffrey's backup running back, undrafted Jordan Mason, is on pace for 2,100 yards. No, he won't get there. Mm. But if he started all season, he'd probably get to 1,600.
Yeah.
So it's not even like the Niners need all of these stars. They went to the Super Bowl without Christian McCaffrey, with Fred, with Matt Breida, Jeff Wilson, and Raheem Mostert.
It's not even like they need all these stars. Grandy can't breathe. I wish you could all see him. Like, I mean, like your shoulders drooped, your head went sideways. You look like a dog that's gone to the park without any water.
Mm. How can you possibly say the Niners don't need all of this talent when with all of this talent, they still haven't won the Super Bowl? How can you possibly say that?
First of all, it's a projected conversation. He's not talking about where they've been. He's talking about where they're going. And I think the concept he's getting at is that miss this star, miss that star, you'll still be good.
And think about the first Super Bowl loss when they lost to the Chiefs the first time, and you look at that roster. Most of those players were not stars. They weren't yet stars. Nick Bosa was a rookie, highly drafted, but a rookie. Fred Warner and Emmanuel Sanders wasn't a star, and yet they made it to the Super Bowl. And what Acho says in that, I think that's my big takeaway, is he said Kyle Shanahan is the engine.
He's the engine.
Shanahan is the engine, and he made it with that group. He made it with this group. He can make it with the next group because he is the difference maker on this team.
I stopped listening after you said lost in the Super Bowl.
Well, I mean, at some point, you might want to examine your own emotions into this and see if that's maybe pulling a mask over your eyes a little bit.
If Acho was talking about the Niners being a good competitive football team, even without this level of talent,
I think that's what he's saying.
Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, phenomenally run organization. They're going to be, at the very least, competitive for a very long time. But in the next breath, he said they went all the way to the Super Bowl without McCaffrey. He's talking about competing and winning a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
There's no evidence that suggests the 49ers, with all of this talent, can't even win a Super Bowl. With less talent, how can you say that they're going to win a Super Bowl?
Well, you can get to the Super Bowl, and then you've got 60 minutes, and you've got a 10-point lead in the Super Bowl. Yep. It's not like you went there in a fluky fashion like the Chargers did when the Niners beat them 55-10.
I'd also argue that a piece of this is that they lost Sunday. Because what I sat here and listened to most 49ers say all week last week, the Niners can win without Christian McCaffrey. Jordan Mason, 148 yards. You watch, they'll be 5-0 when Christian gets back. Well, now they're 1-1, and Christian's not going to be back probably week 6. And so now, everybody, we have to spend a week of like, uh-oh, and I get it. But how's that one grab you, 49er fans? The Niners don't even need all these stars. The whole reason they're good every year is Kyle. Period. How does that make you feel? 888-957-9570 is the number. We would love to take your calls. Those of you on hold, we're coming to you immediately. We are sponsored by Lucky California, and it is Willard and Dibbs.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs.
It's a great question.
Wow, that's a great question.
That's a great question.
That's a great question.
And that's a great question.
On 95.7 The Game.
All right, let's hit it again, because today has been all about Mark Randy's emotions. It's been very wobbly. It's been very wobbly. The Debo thing really fired a lot of people up, and that one I get. It doesn't offend me, but I understand it's hard to hear. The Acho one, and if you're just joining us, we'll play it again. Grandy, and anybody who doesn't dig this, I got to push back here. When Acho says they don't even need all of these stars, First of all, I stop my brain from going too far. It doesn't. I don't think he means like they don't need any good players. Kyle Shanahan's that wonderful. Stick any old guy out there. But here's why he's absolutely right. And I'm going to use two specific pieces of information to prove it. First of all, I have all the scars and the L's on my forehead for years of supporting Jimmy Garoppolo when much of this town thought he stunk or at best was, as the kids say, mid. Okay? The second he left here, he couldn't even hold, quite frankly, a backup job in the NFL. He made Devontae Adams go to Netflix to get his frustrations out. That's how bad he was. But Kyle Shanahan's system took him to a 10-point lead in the Super Bowl. So couldn't I use that as evidence that Kyle is largely the straw that stirs the drink? And yes, he has got a resume of elevating players within his system. And this can apply to Brock, too, if you want, to a degree. I think it's just a wonderful fit. But that he's the straw that stirs the drink. And here's the point. He can win with multiple groups of players, some more physically impressive than others. Here's the second piece of data that I'm going to use, which is going into this weekend, the San Francisco 49ers are missing their two best offensive options. Can I get away with that statement?
Sure.
Their two best offensive options.
Yep.
They're missing both of them. Yet, on the road, in the division, I understand the injuries on the other team too, but on the road, in the division, and missing their two top offensive options, they are the single biggest Vegas favorite of the entire weekend. How about that?
Right.
Doesn't that back up what Acho is saying, which I think essentially is take some stars away? Niners are still good.
Yeah. And I think about 2019 more than I do 2024 when I hear Acho's comments, because I think about that team that Kyle Shanahan, quote unquote, took to the Super Bowl. And you mentioned Jimmy Garoppolo as the quarterback, and Acho had it close talking about the running backs when he said Breida, Mostert, and Wilson. It actually was Tevin Coleman as well. None of them are stars. And if you want to look at who they had on their team, you had Fred Warner in his second year, not yet a star. Now Fred Warner's a star, and he's probably going to the Hall of Fame. Dre Greenlaw was a rookie, not yet a star. George Kittle had one really good year.
Yep.
He was on his way to being a star. You had Emmanuel Sanders, not a star. Defensively, you had Dee Ford, who was never a star.
Oh, he was a former very good player.
Fine. Yep. Richard Sherman at the tail end of his career, and he's probably going to the Hall of Fame. You had Nick Bosa, very young player. I believe he was a rookie as well. So these were people that were not yet stars. And what I hear Acho saying is, when Brock Purdy gets that big, big contract, that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch have the ability to draft the next group of Warner, Greenlaw, Bosa, Kittle, Debo, who was also in his, I think, rookie year or second year on that Super Bowl team. So it doesn't mean that you can't do it if you have stars, but it also means you can do it if you don't have stars.
Let's listen to it again. Emmanuel Acho on the facility on FS1.
Want to dismantle the myth that the Niners are going to be without talent once Brock Purdy gets paid.
Because he still do got it.
Like, for those that don't realize, Talanoa Hufanga was a fifth-round pick, All-Pro. Fred Warner, third-round pick, future Hall of Famer. George Kittle was a fifth-round pick, All-Pro. The Niners know how to draft, particularly late in the draft.
Yeah.
So to say that the Niners will be without talent once Brock Purdy gets paid is ignorant. ignorant, it's uneducated, it's uninformed, and it has a lack of research as it pertains to the San Francisco 49ers. Not only will they have talent, even when Brock Purdy gets paid, Kyle Shanahan is the machine. Yeah. Y'all realize Jordan Mason, Christian McCaffrey's backup running back, undrafted Jordan Mason, is on pace for 2,100 yards. No, he won't get there. But if he started all season, he'd probably get to 1,600. Yeah. So it's not even like the Niners need all of these stars. They went to the Super Bowl without Christian McCaffrey with Fred, with Matt Breida, Jeff Wilson, and Raheem Mostert.
Yeah, I just think all he's saying is that without a lot of these stars, without this one, without that one, the Niners are a hell of a program and they're always going to be good. I don't, and I agree wholeheartedly. I've been like, this is a different form of what I said to you a week and a half ago when I get knocked off when people go, window's closing, window's about to close.
Right.
Open the damn window. You're about to sign a 24-year-old quarterback who you love. That's not the end of the window. That's not the end of the road. Boys and men.
Thank you.
That's the beginning. We're at the launching point. And I firmly believe that Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, Parag, the rest of that group, they will continue to, by the way, miss on some of their draft picks and hit on a lot of their draft picks and acquisitions in a way that will allow them to construct a very good roster around a quarterback, even one who's paid.
Certainly, and I know that Mike Florio had a similar comment, and I hope we play that a little bit later in the show, about the same idea about what they've been able to do. And as Emmanuel Acho was laying that out, I was thinking about the 2019 team. Raheem Mostert, undrafted, 772 yards that year. Matt Breida, undrafted, 623 yards. Tevin Coleman, third-round pick, cast off from Atlanta, 544 yards. That's nearly 1,900 yards on the ground from a couple of undrafted and a 26-year-old cast-off. So does the window close when Purdy gets paid? Of course not. And it stays open because of what Acho was talking about with all of these fines and what Kyle Shanahan does as the difference maker.
I mean, at the bottom of all of this, what I think he's saying is that the Niners are a really good outfit and a really good team because of Kyle Shanahan. That's what I think he's saying. He called him the machine. I thought that was Pat Burrell. Maybe it was Kyle Shanahan under that mask. Anyway, I agree with that. I wonder if all of the, do you have a room at Shanahan's house? I wonder, are we doing that to Acho now today? Because that's what he just said. That's what he just said. This team is really good because of Kyle Shanahan.
Well, I don't know what more evidence you need than to look at how badly he botched the draft, where he traded two firsts, actually three firsts, to move up and get Trey Lance.
Yep.
Trey Lance becomes a bust for this team. I think he might be a bust overall. The jury might still be out. I don't think that the jury's out. The jury's coming back into the box to deliver the verdict. But the point is, you squandered three first-round picks on a quarterback who couldn't play for you, and you didn't miss a beat. So if that isn't Exhibit A on how Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch were able to withstand that, overcome that, and yes, and I'm looking at you, Mr. Lanuza, principal at a school where my wife works, who has been critical of John Lynch. I'm looking at you, sir, because he's critical of John Lynch.
He's shaking down principals at schools?
No doubt.
Okay. I'm here for that.
He and I have a little bit of a side beef, which is playful, friendly beef. But all you need to do is look at how badly they blew that and how that didn't affect them one iota.
No, like it happened in Carolina, and look what's happening.
Oh, God.
People are going to get fired. People are getting benched. People are getting cut. It's a total mess.
Two games into the year,
and the 49ers made this colossal error and haven't missed the NFC title game since.
Right. Say that again.
The Niners made this colossal error and haven't missed the NFC title game since. Come on, Grandy. Look at his face. Come on, man. Get on the bus, Gus.
Can you agree that the Niners have had the most talented roster in the NFL the last couple of years?
Yes.
Yes. And they have fallen short of winning a Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
My only argument, and there's no way you could possibly disagree with this, is they haven't done it with this talent. How can you expect them to do it with even less talent?
Because I think that you and him are having different conversations. I think there's a different ending.
Is it a standards thing?
Well, you're saying, you're putting in my mind, you're saying that he's saying the 49ers don't need all of these stars to win the Super Bowl.
That's what it sounded like to me.
I think he's saying the 49ers don't need all of these stars to be really good and a factor every year.
And obviously, I want to win the Super Bowl.
Of course. Of course. But do you see the little,
yeah,
just a little difference there? That's what that's my read on it.
My read is that if you want to go back through the last, I don't even know how far back you want to go, but we could look at every roster every year, and you could tell me who has the best roster, and I would bet that more times than not, the team with the best roster did not win the Super Bowl. And last year is a good example where you just said that the Niners have had the best roster, and they did last year, and they didn't win the Super Bowl. And Kansas City beat Philadelphia. Philadelphia might have had a better roster than Kansas City. We know that the Rams didn't have the best roster. And Tampa Bay, with Tommy, when they beat Kansas City, was that the best roster? And we can go all the way back in time. The team with the best roster, more often than not, doesn't win the Super Bowl.
That's subjective in and of itself.
Of course.
I bet I could find a bunch of people to be like, you want to know who's got the best roster? Whoever has Patrick.
Right.
I don't care who the rest of the players are. There are people who think that. I don't know that they're terribly wrong, by the way. So, you know, that in and of itself is subjective. Let's hear from the people. 888-957-9570. What say you? The kind of newer question, we can still do the Debo stuff, but the newer question is essentially, are the 49ers just good because Kyle Shanahan? And therefore, it will sustain. Or are there other reasons? And do you have a different outlook? Matt in San Rafael here on Willard and Dibbs. Hi, Matt. What's up?
Hey, guys. Two quick hits before I talk about what you just mentioned. One is, I agree with Debo that the Niners had the best roster last year. If you switch quarterbacks, I think the Niners win going away, and this is the Mahomes factor that you just talked about. The second take is, I think the Hargrave signing is going to go down as one of the biggest mistakes of this regime. The third thing is, I agree with Acho in that the Niners are always going to be competitive with Kyle, but here's my twist on it. Kyle wants his players to play exactly the way he wants them to play. They're like little pawns that he's moving around on a chessboard. And I think that's good enough to get you really far, but the question remains, playing that way, making your team that way, is that enough to win a Super Bowl, or does Kyle, I said this yesterday when I called, does Kyle have to change? Does Kyle have to adapt? Because I think there has to be some of that.
Matt, can I ask you a question? Do you feel like there are other coaches around the league, and I'm going to admit this is a little unfair the way I'm going to characterize it, but because you said that Kyle's got his players as if they're like game pieces on a
little
board.
Little pawns, he said,
and he's moving them around. Are you under the impression that let's take a Sirianni or a Dan Campbell, guys who have that different sort of like blue-collar feel about them, are you under the impression that they're just like, all right, guys, go play. Go do it how you like, and I hope it's going to work out. We'll see you at the post-game party. What do you think, Matt?
So I'll say that those coaches are much more like that. They have coordinators that they rely on. Kyle does not have an offensive coordinator that he relies on. I'm not talking about the defense. I'm only talking about the offense.
Right.
You talk about Purdy and the way he plays, and Purdy's like, I know what Kyle wants me to do, and I do it. And that's one of the issues that people have calling him a system quarterback, which is crap in my mind. I mean, playing quarterback in the NFL, I think, is the hardest position in any sport that there is. It is shocking. I can't imagine what it's like. That said, Kyle tries to make it easier on the quarterback to not have to make secondary decisions, to say, if this happens, I go here. And I get it because it works almost all the time. But it doesn't work all the time. And you saw it on Sunday because Purdy wanted to go places and those places weren't there. And that's the sort of the nuance that I'm trying to create. Kyle's a great coach.
Of course.
Greatest coach I think we've had since Bill Walsh.
I get it. I get it, Matt. Matt, it's another good call. Thank you for calling. I'd say this about the whole idea of, like, Kyle doesn't rely on coordinators. Sure he does. He relies on a coordinator on the other side of the ball than his own expertise, which is what almost every coach in the NFL does. Bill Belichick, you think Bill Belichick had a defensive coordinator that he gave a rip about? No.
Nick Sirianni has two coordinators.
And why does he have two coordinators?
Because he's probably not great at either thing.
Because he's a defensive guy, and last year, that defense, in the second half of the year in particular, starting with the Niners going on six consecutive touchdown drives,
yep.
That defense got torched. And so they went, you know what, Nick? Tell you what, you're going to keep your job. Introduce yourself to Vic Fangio. That's calling the defense now.
How's that working out for you?
Not you. Not a great start, Bob.
Not great.
Not great. Yeah,
not great in Monday night, for sure.
But that's my point. Like most NFL head coaches, even if they've got someone that has that that label, if you're a defensive guy, you're in charge of the defense, and you hire an OC. If you're an offensive guy, you're in charge of the offense, and you hire a DC. And that's what we got in San Francisco.
Right, and many people are critical of Kyle Shanahan for his game management, and if it gets to a point where they start to lose more than they win, then there'll be pressure for him to actually bring in an offensive coordinator to unburden him from that duty so that he can focus on areas where maybe he falls short.
You think that would ever happen?
If they struggle, absolutely.
I got a hard time believing. Kyle Shanahan is in position where he's like, you want someone else to call plays? I'm out.
It's not so much that you want someone else to call plays as much as it is you want somebody to help with game management. Because if you want to criticize Kyle during a game of anything, game management is the one area you could look at.
That's fair.
Whether it's knowing the overtime rules or using your timeouts correctly clock at the management. End of the half, sure. Clock management. There are things that he doesn't do in some people's eyes that are worthy of criticism, and that's where you might get to a spot where, you know, you bring in somebody else, and you know, you already have Brandon Staley on the staff, who is on the defensive side of the ball, but somebody with head coaching experience who, I'm not saying that he's going to be put in that spot, but if this season doesn't go great, you might hear a little bit more of a clamor for him to get some help in some areas.
I'm looking for a guy who knows football. He knows how to run an offense, doesn't need to call plays, and I want him to be a large person, bigger than average person, and I want his first name to be Tom. And then Kyle could have Big Tom. And Big Tom could just follow him around on the sideline and intimidate other people and help him with clock management.
Oh, you're talking about Big Dom.
No, Big Tom. They've got Big Dom. I want Big Tom.
Tom Brady.
That's fine.
Or just some random guy named Tom.
Anyone named Tom. But Brady's good. Brady's fine. If broadcasting for $40 million a year doesn't work out, sure.
Well, he's already a part owner of the Raiders, so that's going to be something that might be preventative.
How about dog trainer in Milpitas? Hi, dog trainer. What's going on?
How you doing? Hey, like the show today, like the conversation. Quickly, the Debo thing. The gold standard, I think, would be the Patriots when both Belichick and Brady were there. I can't imagine Belichick not firing a player or not, what is it, not finding a player. I mean, Belichick had rules. You don't pop off on media like that. You don't talk about the team like that. It just seems some of the things the 49ers do just seem to be what Brady and Belichick would see as immature. Number two, I heard a story once that Belichick gave all the photos to a few bellmen at a hotel and paid them to stay up all night on their shift and keep an eye on all the doors and the rooms of all the players. And if anybody went in or out after curfew on the road, that they were to report to Belichick, and he had them do it so all his assistant coaches could sleep. I don't know if that story's true or not. But the last thing is, just like the guy hinted earlier, Los Gatos High School, second-string quarterback. San Jose State, third-string quarterback. Bill Walsh hardly ever played. But you know what? He knew he wanted to coach, and he always was a great offensive mind. And look at the tree that came behind him from his training and teaching. And yet he always had an offensive coordinator. So I don't know why Kyle doesn't do the same thing.
But he never had an offensive coordinator that had the same role as other offensive coordinators. Do you know what I mean, Doug Trainer? Like, that's just like, that's kind of the way the tree in the NFL, thanks for calling. That's the way the tree in the NFL works. A lot of guys, you know what I mean? Like, how about Mike McDaniel? This is an example. Kyle has not, like, never had someone on offense that's allowed to talk to him. I feel like we pitch it this way sometimes. Like, Kyle is over there. He's a mad scientist. There's steam coming out of his ears. And if you're an offensive coach and you talk to him, you're fired. Like, I don't think that's what's going on. I know what the perception is. But Mike McDaniel, I think, was his run game coordinator at the time. But that's another offensive voice who, by the way, has turned into a very, very smart, some would say brilliant young coach in the league.
And the new hot name is another guy from the tree, and that's the Saints offensive coordinator, Clint Kubiak.
Yep.
So you tell me that Clint Kubiak was told to sit quietly in the corner and not offer up his insights and his thoughts and his opinions? I don't think that that's the case with Kyle Shanahan. I would imagine he sits down in offensive meetings and invites all kinds of opinions and schemes and thoughts. And when it comes time to make the decisions, he makes them because he's the head coach and he's the offensive coordinator. But you're right, Mark. You can't look at the lineage of coaches who've gone on from the Shanahan tree to do big things, head coach, coordinator, etc., and think that they were just dummies here who is like on the coattails?
Yeah, I actually can't speak to this. I don't know if Kyle Shanahan, like when it's time to call a play, obviously Kyle's in charge, but are we under the impression that if anybody has another idea, Kyle's just like, shut up?
I don't think that.
I can't imagine
that's the way it goes.
I don't know. And I'm being a little theatrical
of course,
here.
Yep.
But like, are you allowed to be like, hey, buddy, what about this? And Kyle might be like, oh, that was a good idea. I don't know. I really don't. Mike McDaniel would be the one to ask.
Yeah, and I'm most interested by this season and his newfound desire to go for it on fourth down.
Yeah, how about that?
When you've added Mr. Go for it on fourth down, Brandon Staley, to the coaching staff, albeit on the defensive side, is Brandon Staley influencing Kyle Shanahan's newfound aggressiveness? That's something that I'd love to find out. I don't know if we ever will.
You think it's Staley?
It seems like they're going for it now more often than they have in previous years.
What if it's Brock?
Brock's
like, I met Dan Campbell in the NFC title game last year,
totally.
Coach, and he really, I thought was inspirational. I think we should start doing things like him. So when it's fourth down, we go for it. Every time.
Every time.
Coach, what do you think? I like it and stuff. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. You mentioned the Florio comment. We'll play that coming up next. We'll circle back to Acho and Debo and let you 49er fans react to what you're hearing, because I would sort of pitch them this way. Debo says we're the best team, whether we win or not. Acho says Kyle Shanahan's the reason they win. Wait till you hear what Mike Florio has to say. See if you agree or disagree with that. This is coming up on Willard and Dibs.
You're funny.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
It's a gift to think everything is funny, by the way. Easily amused. Kurt Cobain sang about that once upon a time.
Yeah.
I wish I was like you, easily amused.
That was a Steiny lyric from the crossover, I think.
Was it?
Yeah. I believe he was...
Did he sing it or did he say it?
He sung it. Yeah.
Okay, if you got that.
That's singing. It was talk singing, but
you,
it counts.
888-957-9570. We're just over here breaking down narratives. That's what we're trying to do. Things we find interesting. Grandy's head somehow still attached to his body at this hour after what he's been through. Did this one bother you too? Did the Florio thing bother you or no?
No. Do you actually want to hear Steiny sing?
Yeah.
That Nirvana song?
Yeah.
Okay, apologies to the YouTube audience. Okay. Here it was from the crossover nearly a month ago.
I wish I was like you, easily amused.
I wish I was like you, easily amused.
Very good. Yeah. Very, very good.
Great song. Yeah, there you have it.
I do remember that now.
Yeah. Back when you guys were friends?
Oh, yeah.
Good times.
Back in the day.
I know.
They'll be back tomorrow. Although it's been a couple of straight days of Just don't come down Sirianni's road.
No, he thanked
Sirianni.
Me. When I got here today, he thanked me.
And then what happened?
Me.
The mics came on and buried you.
Yeah, then he got...
Thanks.
I don't know about that. He might have buried himself. But anyway, yeah. He did, people don't know this, he did the last 4 minutes of the crossover with no headset on. That's when you know Bleep is bleeped up.
Yeah.
Bleep got all bleeped up. Yeah.
Oh,
he was, and listen, I know. Sports radio, you know this better than anyone. I can be a little frustrating to talk to sometimes. I'm aware of this.
It's been more than a year since I've allowed you to get to me.
I've been
on a nice little run.
That's because you get it. Same with me to you.
Well,
you spent the first 2.5 years trying to tick me off on purpose.
And I could go there again, but it's better if I don't.
But it almost will never work.
I'm angry, Jeff.
That's awesome.
Exactly. Steiny knows. We just sitting here talking.
Yeah.
And I'm a big old hard head, and I know I love the messages I get. These are my favorite. You always think you're right. And I always go, who the hell thinks they're wrong? Who the hell goes out in the world to tell everybody stuff that they think is wrong? I don't understand that. Do you think you're wrong right now?
Not currently, but there are times when I reflect on something that I've said or an opinion that I've had and thought that I was wrong.
Same. Yeah, I've taken multiple L's today. Multiple.
L's?
L's. Absolutely. I mentioned it out loud, the Garoppolo support that I gave for years.
Yeah.
I think you could still actually have a reasonable opinion on both sides of that. Jimmy was a good quarterback for the 49ers. Is Jimmy a, quote, good quarterback? History is not shining well on that right now. I'll take the L there.
And this is where the Emmanuel Acho comments, for me, shine bright on his Kyle Shanahan is the machine part of it.
Yes.
Because if you look at the Super Bowl runner-up team from 2019, led by Jimmy Garoppolo, two undrafted running backs, and a third-round cast-off from Atlanta, and a host of other players who... Now that we know their names, we know that they're stars, but Kittle was yet to be a star. He had an all-pro year. Fred Warner, yet to be a star. Now he's going to Canton, it looks like. Dre Greenlaw was a rookie, and he's amazing.
Yep.
Nick Bosa was a rookie. We thought he'd be good. Turns out he is. Richard Sherman was at the tail end of his career. He might be a Hall of Famer. And I know that the nominations came out today. I'll check to see if he's eligible or if he's on the list.
You know what those are.
It's a nomination sensation is what it is. And
job.
I just saw something on the scroll that Eli Manning is among the first-time eligibles. And we can get into that maybe at the tail end of the show today. I don't want to bog us down with that part of the conversation. But the greater point for me is what Emmanuel Acho said about Kyle Shanahan being the machine. He was able to get a team in 2019 that didn't have a lot of stars all the way to the Super Bowl.
I do have the, you're right, let's not get bogged down, but of the first-time candidates, there are two with significant, in fact, both two that were drafted by the 49ers and played significant time here. Richard Sherman is not one of them. He obviously was not drafted by the 49ers.
Is he on the list, though, or is he still a year away?
No.
Because you have to be 5 years out
to be nominated. I just know he's not on the first-timers list.
Okay.
But one of his LOB teammates is Earl Thomas.
Okay.
And two, you want to take a stab? Two 49ers drafted by the Niners, played here significant period of time. Two 49ers are among the first-timers on the Hall of Fame finalist list.
Okay. I'm leaning Frank Gore, but I don't think he's been out of the league long enough, so I don't think that he's one of them.
It is not Frank Gore.
Yeah. Joe Staley?
That is absolutely correct.
Good.
Joe Staley is one of them. And the other one, I think, has been on the station here pretty recently, right? Not our show. I think went on with Steiny and Goo maybe month and a half ago, I think. Want to give it a shot?
Not Navarro Bowman.
No. I give you one clue and you'll nail it immediately.
Oh, let's do this then. I like to win.
One clue
I like wins.
And you'll nail it immediately. Because you know what I want on this show? I want winners. I want winners.
Oh, Vernon Davis.
There you go.
I was going to say Mike Singletary, but I think he's already in the hall.
I want winners.
Yeah.
Can't do I want it. People that want to win.
Can't win
cannot
with them.
Win with them.
I
can't
know.
Do cannot it. Coach with them. Can't do it.
Can't do it. Oh, it's one of the best.
Yeah.
It's one of the best.
And just, if I can spend 10 seconds to do this, and I do it every single
this
year.
This is your show. You do whatever you want.
I know, but we didn't want to get bogged down. And suddenly, here we are.
Cannot play with
him. I don't feel bogged down right now.
Lorenzo Neal is again nominated.
Mm-hmm.
And I said this years ago, and I think we had t-shirts made. There's not a true modern-day fullback in the Hall of Fame, so I started a Break the Seal with Lo Neal campaign. If you're not going to vote Lo Neal into the Hall of Fame, then vote a fullback. If it's Larry Centers, then make it Larry Centers. If it's John Kuhn who's nominated, there are fullbacks who have played that position in this modern era who deserve to be in there. Let's get it done, voters. I'm looking at you, Matt Maiocco.
Or maybe they're waiting for another solid 6 or 7 years to vote Kyle Jukic in there.
Yeah.
Or whatever. What did that person call him earlier this week? What did they call him?
Jazook.
Jazook.
Thank you. The great Jazook.
That's so good. Kyle Jazook. Yeah. Maybe he'll get in someday. Pretty good player.
Jeff Garcia nominated this year.
Go again. Jeff.
Eli Manning. Oh, Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, beast mode.
About that action boss.
Yep.
He's a first-timer on the ballot as well, so... Anyway, we can get into this on a slower day. Do you want to get bogged down?
Do you want to leave Bogdanville?
I do.
All right, check this out. So Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, having a conversation about a wild stat on the 49ers from Week 1 against the Jets. Peep this.
The 49ers are the only NFL team in the Super Bowl era to get a 200-yard passing game, Brock Purdy, 125-yard rushing game, Jordan Mason, 50-yard receiving game, Juwan Jennings, and an interception for Flanagan Foles from four players who were drafted 200th or later or not drafted at all. That's a testament to what the 49ers have done under Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch. They find guys well beyond the point at which anyone gives a crap.
I wonder who's willing to join me. Who's willing to join me? I bet you are. I want to know who's willing at 888-957-9570 to join me and free yourself from the ridiculous notion that the 49ers are bad at the draft. Who wants to join me? Who wants to say it with your chest that the Niners are fantastic at drafting and that you bake in to every NFL team every year that there will be mistakes, some of them massive. You bake it in. But I don't know any regime, at least not current, that can boast the list and the hits late that this group can boast. Like, even the way that he's sort of pitching that as this, like, fun stat that happened in the Jets game is not really even the whole story. For God's sakes, their quarterback was the last pick in the draft. Brock Purdy, 7th. Juwan Jennings, 7th. Jordan Mason, not at all. George Kittle, 5. Dre Greenlaw, 5. Fred Warner, 3. We can keep going. Talanoa Hufanga, back at practice today, 5. Like, there are, and gosh, I know it's very early, but look at some of the guys that we're excited about. Everybody spent so much time talking about Dominic Pooney, 3rd. So many phenomenal, not just contributors, phenomenal players have come 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, or not at all to this football team. Who's ready to admit that the 49ers are fantastic at the draft and, yes, like all teams, have some major whiffs?
It's more than the draft, but I do think that they get a bad rap for the draft because it's easier to highlight the ones that they've missed on than it is the ones that they've hit on. And I'm not willing to even recognize Dominic Pooney in this conversation because you and
fine.
I have both agreed that you have to wait 2, if not 3 years to identify a player as a hit or as a miss. So I'm going to ask the jury to disregard that injection into this conversation. But I do think, for me anyway, it's more than drafting, it's scouting. And the Mike Florio cut right there really highlights it. And I talked about the Super Bowl team in 2019 where you had Breida undrafted, you had Mostert undrafted, and these were key contributors to that team. And as he just said right there, Flanagan Foles, who's a backup? And, you know, he plays in the base package largely because Dre Greenlaw's out, but he was undrafted and he had a pick. And Juwan Jennings was a seventh rounder, as you pointed out. And your quarterback, Mr. Irrelevant. Mr. Irrelevant had never attempted a pass in the history of the NFL, let alone been a guy to come on and get the start and go to a Super Bowl and all the rest of it. So they do deserve a lot more credit than fans readily want to give. And I think it's more than just drafting. And it's scouting. And if you want to look across the league and look at the teams that are good every year, you think about Kansas City and Baltimore. Baltimore crushes the draft every year.
Great organization.
And Kansas City's done pretty damn well.
Yes.
In its own right, in drafting guys, replacing, you know, go ahead and let Tyreek go and then draft a couple of replacements and win two straight Super Bowls.
It's crazy.
That's all.
It's crazy. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.
I'm John Aran, Pucks sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.